Just quickly, I want to say, you know, everybody here, if you've been around for a while, you know this program works. And if you're new, keep coming back and don't leave before the miracle happens, because it really is waiting for you. I just want to share quickly that, last night and this morning, I asked my higher power to show me his will for me. And I didn't know what that would be, but it didn't matter. I was open to whatever it was. And he put a couple of people in my path that I got to be of service to. And I just didn't expect that. And but it wasn't just two people that were helped. It was three, as you know, when we do service. We receive the benefits of that. So just so grateful for this program and for all of you. So so tonight you're in for a treat. We kind of kept this under wraps, but we had a special request, and I'm really excited and happy to hear our speaker tonight. All the way from Nebraska, we have DES.
Yeah, they did a real good job of keeping us under wraps. Wow, what an honor. My name, I am D, and I'm a grateful member of Alamont. Wow. Wow, I got a warm welcome and applause, and so... my sponsor is a man who says, quit while you're ahead. So in closing, I would like to say that the opinions expressed here are possibly dangerous. I told you that I am D, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, and you now know more about me than I did when I came here. Because I knew that my name was D. I was told that at a very early age. My real first name is Warren. Now, there are two people from Warren in Omaha. The other one is Warren Buffett. And just so people don't confuse us, I use my middle name. I actually use my middle name because that's what my mother called me when she wanted to feed me or beat me. Wow, I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm very grateful to be here in person in this group of dudes. It took me a long time to figure that out. I'm not in a gifted and talented group. This is not advanced Al-Anon here. I have finally achieved member. And I'm grateful to do that because that's the only rank in here. There's no one better or no one that knows more. There's no one that knows less. And I'm grateful that you're all here. I especially like to welcome the newcomers. I'm going to try and avoid looking around her because I got that on speaker and I don't care to see that guy. Very grateful. You know, I'm grateful to be welcome places. Because there are a couple of places in Omaha that I still can't go. And to be asked to come, I wasn't asked to come out here and speak, but I was welcomed. You know, I talked to Jack about this. I said, I told my wife, I said, you know, I really would like to meet Willie. Willie asked me to be a sponsor, and I'm very honored by that. And I said, I'd like to meet Willie, and Willie and I are not getting any younger. I would hasten to point out that he is older than me. But she said, I think by all means you should go. She was a little more eager about that than I'm comfortable with. She was very, very excited about the fact that I was leaving town. I tried everything I could to get her to come with me. I begged and I pleaded and I offered her money. I withheld sex. I don't think that was quite the punishment I was looking for. I gave her the silent treatment. She seemed to like that. And she is, she's up there on the screen somewhere. She was earlier. She wanted to see me and Lily together. But I'm just honored to be welcomed here. You know, I was born November 12th, 1945. And for those of you fishing in your pockets and purses for your phones to get the calculator function working, I'm going to save you the trouble. I'm 77. And on that day, that's pretty much when the trouble started. Right up until that moment, I'd been in a warm, quiet place. All my needs were met. And I didn't have any problems. I didn't have any responsibilities. And I came into the world, to a world full of expectations. And sadly, a lot of those expectations were of me. I didn't have any yet because I was still being given everything that I needed. It was just handed to me. I didn't have to ask. I didn't have to do anything to get it. It was just given to me, and I was, all my needs were met, and I was taken care of. And I was not particularly grateful for that. And as I grew up, as I grew older, my first sponsor told me, I can't say I grew up until I do it. But as I grew older, I never appreciated all that I had had. I actually come from a home, there was not alcoholism in our home. Nobody drank there. My parents seemed to have hated one another, but at least that was the impression that I got. They had eight children, and I was, when I got to thinking about a little, or, you know, when things were explained to me later on, I was very surprised at that because I didn't think that they actually liked each other. And to, you know, to be close enough to create eight children was beyond my my understanding, beyond my comprehension. Actually, I think a little alcohol in that home might have helped. I woke up every morning for the first 14 and a half years of my life to hear my mother and father screaming at one another. And somebody told me once that that's a dysfunctional home. And I learned that my job was to put the fun in dysfunction. And so I was the class clown, the village idiot, whatever you want to call me. I'm the baby of the family, and I'm the only one left. And so I started a journey through life, and I was spoiled rotten. I got most of what I wanted. And I just came to the idea that that was what I was due. That was my point in life, was to get what I wanted. And I came to Al-Anon with that attitude. It was all about getting my way. And I thought that's what life's goal was. I've since learned differently. I do, however, continue to read our conference approved literature. I'm doing that in the hopes of finding the phrase, "Indeed got his way, and we all lived happily ever after." My search does continue, and I haven't found it yet. I think tonight I should probably talk to you about three things. I need to talk to you about God, because God is the reason that I am here tonight. I need to talk to you about sponsorship, because if it wasn't for sponsors, And I'm on my third one. I outlived the other two. Now, if it wasn't for my sponsors, I wouldn't be here tonight. I need to talk about the 12 steps. Because when I got here, I had absolutely no idea how to relate to the world. By the time I got to Al-Anon, I had been married and divorced, successfully, I might add, three times. After I came to Al-Anon, I met my current wife, Carol, who was on the screen up there. And that was one of God's greatest gifts to me. When I talk to you about God, I have to tell you that if it were not for sponsorship in the 12th step, I wouldn't have a relationship with a higher power to talk to you about improving, as it talks about in step 11. I would never have gotten to step 11. The steps were written for people like me. My first sponsor, I didn't get a sponsor right away. I was pretty sure when I got here, I didn't really need to be here. And I have to tell you, I didn't get here like all of you did. I didn't come here desperate. I didn't come here with my alcoholic. That's the 1983 version of my qualifier. I thought you had to have an alcoholic, because in my early meetings, people talked about my alcoholic like it was a pet or something. I was informed early on. I got a lesson in the third tradition. I was about 6 months in, and I had decided that I didn't really need to be here because I didn't have an alcoholic in my home. I was a single father of two prepubescent teenage girls, and I'm busy writing the 12 steps about that. But I got to tell you, I just wanted to be different. I always wanted to be different than what I was, and I wanted to be different from anybody else. And after about 6 months in Al-Anon, let me rephrase that. After about 6 months of going to meetings, there's a difference between going to meetings and being members of Al-Anon. I'm sure you've all heard the famous Mary Pearl quote. Sitting in meetings of Al-Anon doesn't make you a member of Al-Anon. Oh, is that time already? No. Okay, well, just keep going then. Sitting in meetings of Al-Anon doesn't make you a member of Al-Anon any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. And I had to learn that the hard way. So about 6 months after attending about 6 months worth of meetings, I was outside what I call my home group, because I heard people talking about a home group, and I thought, well, I should have one. And so to kind of fit in a little bit, I said, this is my home group. And I was talking to them, and I said, you know, I really understand how those poor people in there feel. I did. I felt sorry for you guys, because everybody had it worse than I did. I had a job. I had custody of those two kids. I had a place to live. I didn't have any problems. My bills were all paid. And I knew people in my early meetings that didn't know where they were going to spend that night. And so I thought I was different, and I always wanted to be better. I never wanted to be as good as. I always wanted to be better. But I never felt better. So I was telling all these, this group of people, there were about two guys and three or four women. And I said, you know, I don't think I'll come back here because I don't think I belong. Now, I forgot some key evidence. I had not been shy about sharing what went on in my life. And one of the things I talked about was the people that were in my life that were, their drinking bothered me. That's what I heard them say early on in the program. If somebody's drinking bothers you. Yeah, I didn't, there were some of them, but it didn't bother me. It really pissed me off. I just wanted to punch him. And please forgive my use of profanity. But there is nothing that explains that feeling quite like what I just used. And they kind of backed me up against the wall of the church. You know, I could just keep squatting down here. They backed me up against the wall of the church we were outside of. And they explained the third tradition to me. Said the only requirement for membership, only, there's a four-letter word right in the middle of the traditions. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. And they suggested to me that some of these people I had been talking about had a problem. I kept hearing them talk about alcoholism as a disease. And I thought, it's not a disease. All they got to do is just don't drink. I didn't understand until I got to know some alcoholics, until I followed the advice of a guy that was to become my sponsor. And he told me, he said, maybe you ought to go to some AA meetings. At any rate, I said, okay, I was going to come back because I was pretty sure. Well, you know, if they were that eager to have me there, I was pretty sure I could help them. And so I thought I would just come back. They talked about, you know, I always seem to fall into meetings about God, about higher power, about explain your relationship. Well, at the time that I came into Al-Anon, I believed I was an atheist. That's the only way I could tell you that I understood God. I know today that I really didn't know what an atheist was, because I'm not one. And I have a great relationship with God today. And that's because of sponsorship and the 12 steps. There were not very many men in Al-Anon. There weren't enough men in the Omaha area to have a men's meeting when I came here. A lot of estrogen in the room. Yes, sirree. And I got to tell you, I didn't a lot of times feel like I identified because they were women. And there was one old guy. And one night I was really waxing eloquent. I thought I was doing a great job of explaining about the non-existence of God and how he didn't care about me. You know, I'm talking about he didn't care about me, about this God I supposedly don't believe in. And I am so dense. You know, I am not from the gifted and talented group when it comes to Al-Anon. But I was so dense that I didn't realize I was contradicting myself. I thought he doesn't want me to get this program because I don't believe in him. If that makes any sense to anybody in the room, keep coming back. Yeah. Anyway, I was in a meeting that one night, and I was really on a roll. And this old guy across the table from me said, you know, I'm going to tell you something I heard an AA speaker say once, and I think it applies to you. And I didn't even think that he might be going to say something critical or unfavorable. But he looked at me and he said, there's only two things you need to know about God. And that's that there is one, and it ain't you. And I thought, you obnoxious old fart. Somehow, some way, I'm going to get you. You will pay for that. Oh, and he did. Another thing I kept hearing about was sponsorship, and I didn't figure I needed a sponsor because I wasn't going to be able to work the steps, and that's what a sponsor, one of his primary duties was to help you work the steps and to tell you what to do. But I kept hearing about it and hearing about it and hearing about it. And finally, one night I was leaving a meeting and there was this old guy in front of me, who had had on a cowboy hat and boots. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Hey, would you be my sponsor?" I don't know what came over me that I just was eaten up with the idea that I needed to have a sponsor all of a sudden to help me get this thing I wasn't going to get because I, A, wasn't smart enough and God didn't want me to have it. The God I didn't believe in, by the way, in case you forgot. Turned around and there he was, that obnoxious old fart. And he looked at me, and I think he tried everything he could legitimately to get out of it. He said, "Do you have a sponsor now?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you ever ask anybody else to be your sponsor?" I said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Okay, we'll try it temporarily." That man's name was Leo Stanky, and we tried it temporarily for 11 years. I beat him into retirement. But after he saw how easy it was, because he figured if I could do it, anybody could do it. But Leo retired, he moved away, and he died. But he taught me some of the greatest lessons in life. You know, he kept after me. I'm sure he thought of it as gently remind me to work the steps. He was bitching and nagging at me. That's what he was doing. There is no two ways about it. That man was on, he said, "Your life will get better if you work the steps." And I said, "But, you know, there's 12 of them. That's a lot." You know, and I only had trouble with the first 12. But I told him, I said, "You know, when I was a little kid, they told me about 10 things. They gave me 10 things to do. My mother used to take me to church when I was a little boy. And it was one of those amen, hallelujah, everybody but us is going to hell churches. And I was pretty sure I was one of those that was going. But they gave me 10 things, and now you've got 12, and how do you expect me to do that?" He said, "Well, we'll break it down for you." He said, "We'll call the first three giving up, because that's what you have to do. You've been trying to run your life, and you need to give it up. And the second three are called owning up." I said, "Wow. Owning up to what?" He said, "Well, we'll get to that. Don't worry about that. We'll help you." And the next three are about making up. So you gotta clean up from what you have done in the past. And he said the last four are about growing up, because you have some of that to do. And I was bearing down on 40 years old when I came to Al-Anon. 1983, August 19th was my first meeting. And I'll tell you what that amount of time will qualify you for in Al-Anon. And I'll tell you how to get to be an old timer in Al-Anon. Just keep coming and don't die. That's what you have to do. It's good. And what I had to do was learn to pay attention. Because I wasn't big into listening. And my first sponsor, Mr. Leo Stanky, told me, he said, "There's in one of the Alateen books," now that's how basic a principle this is, that the Alateens can get it, but a guy bearing down on 40 years old couldn't. He said, "There's a reason that God gave you two ears and one mouth." I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Well, it means you ought to listen at least twice as much as you talk." And I thought, wow, what an order. At any rate, we started that journey through the steps, and the idea that I was powerless didn't ever occur to me, and that my life was unmanageable did not. I mean, I understand why your life was unmanageable, but I didn't understand why mine. I could tell by watching you. You know, and finally I thought, yeah, I am powerless over alcohol, because there have been a few people in my life, a couple of those wives drank more than made me comfortable. And so I had tried to convince him it was not the thing to do. And so I got the idea about the powerlessness part. I wasn't real sold on the unmanageability. And so I sped forward into the second step. And the second step is, I could be the poster boy for step two. It says, came to believe. If that step said, we believed, you'd have a different speaker right now. Don't start applauding. But you would have a different speaker right now because I didn't believe and I didn't want to believe and I wasn't going to believe. But it says we came to believe. And if I may commit some Al-Anon blasphemy here today, I'd like to invite you to read Appendix 2 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It talks about spiritual awakening. And that's what I had, was a spiritual awakening. It was from learning until it became obvious to me that what I had been doing didn't work and that I needed to have some help. And that it wasn't anybody in the rooms. It was a power greater than me that I didn't even know that could help me. Then the third step, they just came right out and said the G word. And I didn't really want to hear that. And it was a little confusing to me anyway. I asked him, I said, well, you know, it says, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. And I said, what does that mean, our will and our life? He said, oh, real simple. It's no wonder you can't understand it because you're such a great thinker. He said, your will and your life is just everything you think and everything you do. And I thought that was a little radical. I thought, yeah, maybe I needed to turn over some of the bigger stuff, but I could probably handle the little one. And one of the great lessons I've learned out of step three is, number one, it's not about turning your will and your life over. It's about deciding to. And my sponsor told me when I came into Al-Anon, he said, you know, when you go to one of those restaurants where you look up at the menu instead of down, he said, you can't even decide if you want cheese on that sandwich or not. So you probably better hold off on making any decision about turning your will and your life over to the care of anybody or anything. I didn't like the way this was going. And be perfectly honest about it. Step four, you know, not too many people that come into Al-Anon for their first meeting, when the steps are read, and if you actually look at them for a little bit, jump up and down and say, I want to do 4 and 5 right now. And step four didn't keep me from doing step four. Step five did. And I was real hesitant to write a lot of stuff down because I wasn't sure what the statute of limitations on some things were. And so I held off on that all I could, as long as I could. And I got to tell you, honestly, I was almost 3 years into Al-Anon before I did a four step. And my sponsor, Mr. Leo Stanky, being the master of subtlety that he was, for Christmas gave me a pen and pencil set. And so I began to get the message that this was going to be a necessary part of my recovery if I was going to recover, was to write this stuff down. He explained to me that I needed to write it down because he said, you try and keep track of things in your head and you tend to forget. Well, I didn't forget everything. I forgot some of the bad stuff, you know. And I was a little concerned about doing my fourth and fifth step because I didn't think that they would let me back in. And I was actually starting to understand that this was about me and that this could help me to get better. It wasn't about them. And so I did do a four step. My first one was not as thorough as I would like to have been. I would like to tell you that it was wonderful, that it will probably be enshrined somewhere in Virginia one of these days. It will not. I didn't really understand how to go about it. My sponsor said to me, he said, did you ever take anything that didn't belong to you? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, that makes you a thief, you know, write down thief. And then he said, did you ever tell anybody something intentionally that wasn't the absolute unvarnished truth? And I said, well, I just, sometimes I have, I tried to present myself in the best light. And he said, well, where I come from, they call that lying. So far we have thief and liar. And I thought this thing was headed in the wrong direction. I really did. But I persisted. I got a hold of a checklist and a set of questions. And I answered those questions to the best of my ability. I want to tell you, I did not use the blueprint for progress, and I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that it's a bad thing, because I know a lot of people use it and it does a lot of good. It didn't work for me. The men I sponsor today use the column method in the big book. That's what I ask them to do. But we got through the fourth step, and he made me an appointment. He said, I want you to be here at my house with your fourth step on this date, and I will, and we'll do your fifth step. And I'm not proud to tell you that I didn't keep that appointment. I called in sick or lazy or something, but I did not do it on the date that he had put forth. We did do a backup date, and I did make the second one. And I went down there. And I have to tell you the most interesting thing about that fifth step for me. Well, there were two interesting things. One, I had the idea that he was having a hard time staying awake, which made me kind of wish I'd heard his. Because I thought maybe he had some good ideas we could do. The other thing is, when I walked in there and we sat down and I handed him all this paper, because I made a copy for him. And he was looking at it page after page, and he said, you know, on the way out here, I'm pretty sure you were probably editing this thing mentally. Said, I'm sure that you were getting the punctuation right, getting the story together. And he said, there is one thing that is probably not written down here, that you swore that you would go to your grave with that knowledge. Thank you. And he told me, he said, that's the only thing I want you to tell me today, if you don't tell me anything else. And I, in an uncontrollable moment of honesty, actually did it. And so after that, the rest was pretty easy. The rest was stuff that was easy. I've spent a lot of time going through the first five steps here, but I have to tell you the last bunch. I want to talk about the last three. I'm going to move right on here. I'm going to go to step 12, because step 12 has the essence of what the steps are about and why we're here and what we get. Having had a spiritual awakening as the THE, that's a three-letter, four-letter word right there. As the result of these steps, that's all you get, is a spiritual awakening. But it says somewhere that there's the idea of a spiritual awakening is a personality change sufficient to, I've lost it. Sufficient to promote recovery or something like that. Anyway, somebody's allow recovery. And I brought that up one time to somebody, and they said, well, you know what? If you get a personality change, you got a pretty good deal, which kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. But then there's another word that's very important. It's a five-letter, four-letter word. It says, we tried to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all our affairs. There are many days in my life that I feel as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a neighbor, as I feel like a failure. And I think that because I do the things I do in my life, I get up every morning, I pray, I meditate, I read daily readings, I talk to my sponsor on a regular basis. And I think that because I do those things, that I should be approaching perfection. And it's not going to happen. And so I have to remember constantly that word tried in there. Because it says we tried to carry this message to others. I've tried to carry it to my children. Didn't work. And tried also modifies the last part. We tried to practice these principles in all our affairs. There's our forgiveness right there. A lot of forgiveness in that step, because we are not ever going to practice these principles in all our affairs to perfection. At least not to the perfection. I don't call it perfection. I just call it an acceptable level of performance. But at any rate, I'm going to close this up now. It's been really wonderful to be here. I'm grateful to have met all. Well, I haven't met all of you, but I'd love to. And I'm going to be here for a little while. Jack's going to, well, I guess he could make me walk back to the hotel. But I am so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to be welcomed, and even a little bit grateful to be surprised. And so thank you very much for allowing me to share.